Hello, and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today our guest is Kim Houdyshell. And one big word that stands out for me with Kim's story is transformation. Now, we're going to hear transformation in Kim's life, but also in lives around her that's going to come back and create even more transformation for her. And one of my favorite moments is this, what I like to call a dangerous prayer that she shares with us at the end of this story. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You got to listen to get there, but I'm telling you, it's a good one. Kim, hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited. For those of you who are not in the room, which is everybody that's listening, we both have our shoes off and are sitting crisscross applesauce on our chairs, and it's adorable, and we're going to have so much fun. I'm looking forward to this. All right, so we usually like to start at the beginning. Tell me, were you raised in the Akron area? What's your origin story?
Sort of. I began in a Green Township area.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life was in Akron, but Green Township until I was in third grade.
Okay.
And it was a great time of my life. We went to rodeos all the time.
Whoa.
Yes.
I'm completely thrown off by this. Rodeos. Okay.
Rodeos.
In the Akron area, or did you travel around?
We traveled around.
Okay.
My dad had at least one horse, sometimes two.
Okay.
And
did he compete?
He competed.
What?
Yes, he was a barrel racer.
Oh my gosh.
That was his main thing. And Party Doll was the best horse, and he would just take her flying. And I can remember going and watching some, but mostly we played with the other kids mm-hmm. at the rodeo, and they weren't like big things like
yeah.
you get a carnival, you know, going and all. They weren't that big.
Were they pretty family friendly? Did they have stuff for kids?
Oh well, for the age or that time period, we played like balancing on the what are they? The telephone poles that were
yeah.
knocked out, you know, that were used
yeah.
as you know, stops
boundaries
and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean,
you made your own fun.
We did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you said through third grade, you lived in Green and kind of rode the
rodeo
circuit.
Yes. And we just had a blast with that. And that was all in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I remember the most about my childhood, you mm-hmm. know, till third grade.
Did you have siblings that were doing that with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There were four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the second. My sister is the first, and then me. And then I have two brothers. Brad is the middle between me and my other brother, and he has cerebral palsy.
Oh, okay.
And so, but he could move around, walk around. He had, you know, affected gait and speech. But, yeah, so I'm not sure where he was the majority of the carnival or, you know, or the rodeo time, but yeah, but he was all part of it. Mm-hmm. We would play baseball in our front yard because it was long. And, you know, there's four of us within 5.5 years.
Okay.
And
whoa.
So, yeah.
Bless your mother.
I know. And we would play, and my dad would grab up Brad, and when he would swing the bat, and then
aww.
My dad would run him to the bases,
oh,
and
so
as
sweet.
We're trying to get him out, you know, and so it was really
a lot of fun, a lot of outdoors, a lot of just, like, taking what you have and making the most of it, it sounds
right.
like, in your childhood.
Right.
So you were there until third grade. Did something shift? Did you move? What happened
in
then?
In third grade, we didn't. We moved to Akron, closer to work for my mom. She worked part-time up until this point. She was part-time as a nurse. And my dad decided he wanted to own a bar.
Okay.
So he opened up a bar, and we moved to Akron.
Okay.
And there was quite a shift in our family at that point in time, at least for me, as it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went from a school where a couple of times I got sent to the principal's office because I was just really outgoing in a way, you know,
just chatty, talkative, like
disruptive in class?
A little disruptive, yeah. And or going off into the bathroom to meet a friend, and we stand there, you know, stay there.
Social butterfly.
Well, when we moved, I became very introverted, very quiet. I mean, my teacher even asked me to, can you press a little harder with your pencil? Because I wrote really lightly. And
Oh my gosh,
it was a big transformation. Didn't know anybody. It was middle of the year, too. And so, anyways, big shift for me. Big shift for our family.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a little yard. I mean, we had a little house. Now we had a big house.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a little yard, and we had a big yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my dad actually kept his horses over at my grandpa's for a little while, and then they, and then, you
other
know.
Other priorities that, took
yes,
over. Yeah.
Right. Weekends are big in a bar, so.
I can imagine. Did he have at least, like, a mechanical bull? That would have been kind of fun.
I know,
be on
no.
brand for him.
No, but he did have country music.
There you go.
So.
That will take it. So with that quietness, was there like an emotional side of that or a darkness or anything, or just was more of a shyness that came through when you moved?
It was just I was shy to begin with to some degree, but when I'm really comfortable, which I was in my old school, I can, get ornery, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when I moved, I just went really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And the household changed. Because my mom went to work more frequently. So we did come home from school. So she was home some of the days that we could come home for lunch and then go back to school because we were just down the road.
Wow,
so we were really close. But for the most part, she increased her hours at work. And when all of us were a little bit older yet, when Brad was going full time to school, then she went full time to work as well, and it was good that she had such a job because you needed the support for the family because you start a business and no matter what the business was, it could go, it could not, and so, but through my junior high school years, I became more and more aware of the fact that what goes on at a bar, my dad was involved in it all. And so it kind of brought those things that came to haunt the house, They came to be part of our household. And so that was difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an example of something you can share?
Just think of what would go on at a bar and just relate it to. Although he never drank in the house. So it was just, there was just such a distance there. And so the change was distant. We still had some family gatherings and stuff and, but he wasn't committed to the family.
Okay.
So.
Was there any connection to Jesus or to church or to anything like that when you were in your youth?
When I was really little, like kindergarten age, because I can remember this, we went to church every other week because my mom worked every other week, weekend. So. I can remember going, and my sister was just, she just drug her heels. She didn't want to go to church whatsoever. And right from the beginning, and I was just the opposite. I walked into my kindergarten teacher's room. I can remember that. And Cindy would tell me how, that was my sister, would tell me how, boring it was and how terrible it was. And I walked in, and it was just like, I love this place.
Oh, wow.
I love this. It was like a grandma teacher, And I just loved her. And she was just so sweet and so welcoming. And I just felt like, this is my place. It's safe, I felt very comfortable there. And so we went every other week for quite a long time mm-hmm. With my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was a church that my grandma went to as well. So mm-hmm. It was, so it became familiar.
So she was there while you were there too? You
my grandma?
You would see each other on Sundays?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes. So.
And then did that stay with your family? And especially when you moved, did you find another church or did you guys?
No, we went there. We didn't go there as frequently when we were real little. When we moved to Akron, it was in Cuyahoga Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really easy to get to. And so we went more regularly mm-hmm. then. And she sent us to Vacation Bible School every so mm-hmm. often, too. And
mm-hmm.
and when I went to spend night with my grandparents, on my other side, my dad's side, they were such sweet people. And they took us to their church, mm-hmm. you know, when we spent the night there. And so,
mm-hmm.
which was completely different, you know, mm-hmm. did different things. But mm-hmm. it was nice as well. And we do their Vacation Bible School and that kind of stuff.
So is that something that went beyond Sundays for you? Did you, you know, pray together as a family or yourself? Did you have an understanding of a personal relationship with Jesus as your Savior?
No.
Okay.
No. We did pray before dinner, and we mm-hmm. did eat dinner together
mm-hmm.
Every day with TV on.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Because the TV had to be on because my dad didn't like hearing anything when you're eating. Because that was always a... We had to be really careful how we ate to make sure it was quiet. And the TV was going and we didn't have much conversation because even when the commercials were on, oh, this is a good commercial, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. So mm-hmm. there wasn't a whole lot of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But we were together.
Mm-hmm. Those are important core things as yes. a family. But it sounds like things started to become distant and Dad wasn't maybe around as much as you were in middle school and high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And his activities were definitely affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, with five kids in 5 years, and four kids in 5.5 years,
mm-hmm.
she did put on a little bit of weight. And he would walk around the house singing a song about the weight, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff. It was just mean,
mm.
you know. And my dad was he was diagnosed, I think, later in life. But he had kind of a, you know, sometimes he was easy to talk to and other times he would just go
mm-hmm.
off the wall. And you never knew which dad you were getting.
That's really hard.
So it did. It made it tough. And so so there was, we didn't have the stability in the household.
Mm-hmm.
And we were also like lower middle class. We could only, you know, I got a job and when I turned 15 so I could buy my own clothes and mm-hmm. do all that kind of stuff, which is a good thing to do. But, yeah, we were just making it by.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, my mom, she spelled it all out for me. I wanted a dress for a prom or mm-hmm. something, you know. And it's like, well, I can make one. Because she did.
Wow.
She sewed. You know, or, you know, it was like, but Mom, I want something that, you know, mm-hmm. that store-bought this time. And she goes, well, let me show you, you know. And she got out the books and she showed me her, you know, where all
budgeting,
the money, where the finances
yeah.
was and everything. And she says, see, there's really not anything for that, yeah. but I have enough to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
You had a little Pretty in Pink action there. You just
yes.
kind of like take the supplies you have and
yes.
make it work. Okay, so as you were going through that, what did you start to think of for your future? What were your hopes and dreams? Were you like, I got to get out of here, or did you stay close to home?
It's really funny because I did stay home until I graduated, well, until I got married, basically, because I graduated the year after. So I did stay home through college, but I was hardly ever there.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Brian, my husband, from church. We both went to the same church.
Even through childhood?
Yes, but I didn't know him. He was
okay.
2 years older than
okay.
me. So he was in my sister's grade level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met, and at a youth retreat. Mm-hmm. And it was an overnight at our church.
In college age?
In or high school.
Okay.
Yes. I was 14, so I was just starting into the youth group. And remember, this is the 70s. And so they had us pair up boy-girl.
Oh, and fascinating.
So, I know.
They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. And it was crazy. So I was standing on there was like a staircase, and then you go down the staircase, and there was a foyer area here, and he was leaning against the wall in the foyer area. And I was standing up here, and he announced that we needed to do this boy-girl. And it was like, oh, my goodness, you know? And mm-hmm. So I looked across the room because I'd seen him. And I looked across the room, and he looked at me, and I nodded my head at him, and he was like, yeah, sure. And so.
And that's it? Rest is history?
Sort of, yes.
Eyes connect across a crowded room. And
yes, but that was 14, and I wasn't supposed to date until 16.
Mm-hmm.
But we did end up dating at 15 the next year. And we didn't see each other that much then, but he said he kept his eye out on me. And so
did he go to a different school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He went to Woodridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
Akron North.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you met him in early high school, went through college dating, and you said did you say you got married right before graduation?
Yes, a year before graduation for me.
Okay.
He graduated. Mm-hmm. And so then we got married, and yeah.
Did you go to University of Akron?
Yes.
Okay. What did you study?
I studied speech therapy.
Oh, okay.
A speech therapist, and I worked for 4 years, mm-hmm. and then I retired with kids.
Mm-hmm. Did you have 4 and 5 years as well?
Pardon?
Did
no.
you have four
oh,
kids
no.
and 5 years as well?
I had three. Mm-hmm. Three kids, two boys and a girl. Girls in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, there was a blessing in our early dating, and it doesn't sound like a blessing, but it really was. Brian and I were sitting on the stairs talking, and my dad was moving around doing stuff, and he was trying to stop smoking, but he couldn't. And so anyways, he told me to go get him cigarettes, and I told him no, because he wasn't supposed to be smoking mm-hmm. cigarettes, you know, as a 15-year-old would do,
mm-hmm.
or maybe he was 16 by then. And anyways, Brian said something, and under his breath, and my dad, it was like, that was a big no-no. You say it out loud. And it came to a confrontation where they were nose to nose.
What?
And this is my dad, who's almost 6 foot and was a bouncer at his own bar.
Yeah.
And my husband, who at that time was maybe 135 pounds.
And like 17 years old?
Yes.
Like that.
Or
oh my
18
gosh.
And, you know, 5'9". And so it was quite an interesting confrontation, because I was standing there and seeing my dad's hands clenched and his eyes start jiggling.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to Brian about, you know, yeah, he could lay him out then and there. And Brian was like, you know, yes, I know you can. You know, it was like, I get it. And my dad released his hands, stepped back, and asked him to leave and never come back.
Mm.
The thing with that I said was a blessing.
Yes, I'm confused about getting to the blessing part here.
Is that we continued to see each other. But instead of him coming to my house, I went to his house.
Mm.
So I'd go to work, and then after work, I'd go over to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful, because I saw a husband and wife who loved each other and cared for each other. I developed a relationship with his dad that grew to the point where I had a dad when I didn't have my own any longer. Mm-hmm. You know, when my mind was estranged, mm-hmm. I had a dad. Mm. And it's very interesting because I think God knew I needed that dad. I needed a father image. Mm-hmm. And when my father-in-law, who was older, he was 20 years older than me. And so when he passed was when my dad came to know Christ.
Wow.
And so it's like I always had a dad.
Oh my
gosh.
It's
been very sweet until just recently, or a year ago, my dad passed.
Wow.
So, but it's been...
God, just his timing, him working the way that only he can work to align those things for you. So you were saying you and your dad became estranged. You talked about distance. Mm-hmm. Did he fall out of your life completely eventually?
For a while, not really completely. We still saw each other on holidays or mm-hmm. something like that, but we really didn't connect much.
Yeah.
There were too many triggers mm-hmm. for me. That I kind of kept my distance.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because as Brian and I grew in our relationship and with our relationship with Christ, we moved from our family church to one that was just down the street.
Mm.
And it was the first time that we actually heard about grace.
Mm.
We'd heard about God and how
grace
good
the church
he was.
Or grace the... Grace. The philosophy, okay.
Yes.
Grace of God, okay.
The grace of God, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I want to hear how you turned from going every other Sunday to following Jesus and actually understanding that relationship.
Yes. Well, we went regularly after we got married. We went every week to church, and it was our family church. Through the Joe, our firstborn, when he was four, was about the time, I'm trying to think now, he was, it was around him when he was four, Brian started looking for other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching the four-year-old group.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I stayed and I was working there. And so then we had Becca too, because when we went to timing is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went,
it's a couple years ago.
That's right. When we went to the new church, I was pregnant, so Joe had to be close to six mm-hmm. by then. But anyways, we were trying to get a Bible study in our old church, mm-hmm. and they were just during the week. It's like, we can do it on Sunday. No, we wanted a midweek mm-hmm. study just to keep us focused.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't come up with one.
Wow.
They couldn't, nobody was interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved to a different church. And the first time I walked in there, it was meeting in a school because the church had a tornado came and spun it a little.
Whoa.
Yeah, just twisted it a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were meeting in the grade school, Woodridge Grade School.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked in there and sat down, and it was the best sermon ever because, like I said, he spoke about grace, and both Brian and I were like, what? What, is that really for real?
Mm-hmm.
And it just caught a hold of us.
Mm.
And so from there, our relationship with God just grew. We were listening to the radio. That's where we got most of our midweek help. And
mm-hmm.
But here, they had a Bible study that mm-hmm. we could go to. And so we were going there. When I was pregnant with, or when I have early, premature labor they've all been early, but I was in the hospital with, our last son, Stan, and, We may have gone there for a couple, 3 months maybe, and we got dinners came in to help Brian with the other kids, and while I was in the hospital, and then came home with Stan, and it was just amazing. Mm. So it became our church, and we were there until we moved out of state, and then when we came back, it was different. It was a different church.
Mm, okay.
So
was there like a particular moment you can remember where Jesus like captured your heart, or you gave your life to him, or was this just a series of weekends that you were learning and learning and growing deeper?
It was a series of events more than weekends. Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant with Joe, and this was before we moved to the new church, but when I was pregnant with Joe, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks before he was born and on medication to stop the labor. Mm-hmm. And so Joe's my oldest. Mm-hmm. So while I was there, I asked Brian, it's like, bring me my Bible. I need something, you know, because I couldn't do anything with my hands because they were shaky because of the medication. But I could read. And so I was just looking for passages that would help, you know, make me feel better, you know, about being there and nervous about what was going on. And I can't think of a particular passage, but I know the feeling. And the feeling was that I'm with you. You don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. You just need me. And no matter what, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And so when Joe was born, the only thing I saw, because he was a C-section, and the only thing I saw was his little black leg as a reflection of the light. And he was taken off, and it was like, I looked to Brian, and I said, is he okay? And Brian was like, I don't know. And so I had prayed and prayed as I was in the hospital room, you know, and before it started. And when I got there, I was at the point where I was like, God, whatever happens, I know I'm in your hands. And you were with me through it, and I'm not going to worry. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fuss about it. It's, you'll get me through. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, he came out of it all right. Mm. So, which was a blessing. Mm-hmm. So, my next event was after we were at this church and had heard about Grace. And I'd say that God was with me and that I knew God before I knew about Grace, but Grace was definitely the tipping point, you know. And all through my childhood, I went through the general things that every kid's supposed to do, and I was baptized when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I remember that moment as being special. Mm-hmm. I just didn't really know that much about it.
Yeah.
Same thing when I was at church camp. I went up for Vespers, you know. It's like I knew that something was drawing me.
Yes.
But I didn't know the depth of it.
The understanding, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So with Joe, I knew that God was with me and he'd get me through. But I still didn't have grace, didn't understand grace. Mm-hmm. So at the church, I learned about grace. It's like, this is cool. So then I went, I was a stay-at-home mom with two toddlers. And Joe was off to school, but I had these two toddlers. And it was like, Brian was busy doing this and that, other things. And I just remember feeling overwhelmed, like, you know, and not really enjoying it. I really don't. I mean, I love my kids, and I loved how cute they were and everything, but I'm not a toddler person.
Okay, that's fair to say. I think that everybody would understand.
Yeah, and so, anyways, it was like I just needed something. And this was the only time that I've ever done this. But I was down flat on my face, arms out, just, you know, God, I need you. You know, it's like, and it, that to me was a pivotal, a turning point in more understanding of who God was and giving up more to him. And, but it was a beautiful, it was amazing to me after that release, that giving up to him, how much calmer, how much peace I had. It was just a beautiful moment. So, and it's something to draw back on, to return to, to, you know.
Like altars in the wilderness in the Old Testament, like, okay, remember this. God, draw me back to this. Remember the time you parted the Red Sea. Remember the time, remember when I laid on the ground. Remember when my child was born. Like, those are things that God gives us along the way. Okay, other any other moments? You mentioned plural.
Right. Well, through this time of estrangement with my dad, I just, I read, you know, you pray for your enemies. And at that time, he was pretty much my enemy. I had a lot of bitterness, a lot of resentment, a lot of, trigger points that could be pressed easily without, you know, and Brian would have no clue. I'll give you an example. We would, I'd be making dinner when he was coming home, and he would ask me, when's dinner? And I would see it as, get it on the table, when's dinner, come on. Because that's what my dad did
judging,
to my...
judging, accusing.
Yes. And that's what my dad did to my mom. When she walked in the door, you know, she'd say, I've got to change first, because she was in her uniform, you know, and... It's like, I've got to change. And then she'd get going, and he'd be, you know, asking or demanding. And that's how I was seeing Brian. You know, his question, it was just, it's just a question, you know? And he explained to me, it's like, I'm just wanting to know how much time I have to do this or that, you know? And my blood pressure had gone up, and I, you know. So, anyway, so I had a lot of those things, and I was just like, why is this? What's going on? And then I come across the verse of pray for your enemies. And so I started praying for my dad. So every time I would feel one of these triggers, or every time I'd have a negative thought in my head, I just started lifting them up. And I would pray for him, and I would... you know, ask God for his salvation. And I did that for, you know, a lot of the triggers started going away.
And losing their power. Satan's like, oh, man, she's praying. I should stop triggering her because I don't want her to be praying.
So, and the triggers did go away, quite a few of them, but also the negative thoughts started going away. Because I had so many negative thoughts, you know, about myself, about, and they started going away because I was lifting them up to God, and I was praying for my dad, and I prayed for my dad for 25 years.
Kim.
And I wouldn't say daily, but almost daily. And after 25 years, he, I mean, he, there were little times along the way that it seemed like he had accepted Christ. And then he'd fall way off, you know, just way far away. And there was really never any indication except for him saying, oh, I know Jesus, you know. But when he actually did come to Christ, there was a change in him that was just phenomenal. You know, you hear it about people who are pretty good people anyways, and they accept Christ, mm-hmm. and you don't see much change in them,
right?
Because they were good people anyways. But my dad was not so, not so good. He was verbally abusive.
Okay.
And so to see him hold his tongue, to see him not think about himself all the time, and to think about others, to hear him ask, you know, ask and say please for something rather than demand it. It was just an amazing change in him. And at that time, too, it was like, I got to get rid of this bar. You know, so.
He still had the bar all that time.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
And did he feel like a conviction with it? Like, he literally said, I'm transforming here, and this is no longer of interest to me?
I think that there was part of that. And it didn't use those words, but, yeah, basically it was like, I can't move from this spot until I get rid of this bar.
Wow.
And so he went into the process of trying to get rid of it and sell it. And he ended up really, I mean, he wanted to make money off of it so he'd have his retirement. But he ended up not really making anything from it. And he just basically gave it up.
And that's tricky for a man who spent his life's work on something that he's hoping to gain from in the end. That can be hard on the ego and the spirit to take that in. So maybe Jesus helped protect him from that too and fulfill him and sustain him in a way that he thought money or something else would.
Right. And I think more of it was is that can you let go of this tie and you're not going to get anything from it, because if you get something from it, then you'll think that it was good. You know? And it's like, can you just let it go completely? And so I think it was really quite a test for him.
Wow.
And he did it.
Wow.
So
what was it that captured his heart after all those years? Do you know, like, how...
Why?
How Jesus got a hold of him?
How? No, I don't. Yeah, I do not know. I don't know the...
But you saw it.
But I saw it.
And you felt it. How did he come back into your world?
Well, it was following that. I mean, we would, like I said, we would see each other every so often. And with that, I have been praying for him so much so that when he actually was, I mean, he was baptized and everything. And when that actually occurred, I was, like, so happy. And I went to his baptism, and I was really open to the relationship. I didn't have any anger or angst against him. He was, and so our relationship was, it was beautiful. It was really, it was sweet and precious, and well, Brad and I, we did a lot together. Because it was kind of a way for the two of us to get together to go visit, you know, people. We went and visited my mom when she was failing. And then we went to visit my, you know, so we spent a lot of time going over there and visiting together with Dad. And so the two of us had a good relationship with him. Yeah.
And he got to be grandpa, and maybe you saw a side of him with your children that you...
Well, he, with my children, they were grown by this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was 25 years of prayer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow.
Yeah, so this time, they're grown. They know grandpa a little bit, but not very well. Wow. Yeah, and they're busy with their lives. And yeah.
What patience and what fulfillment in the end, you know, God's timing. And I heard you say, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, you felt so far away sometimes. And, you know, we really never know. We never know how far, how close, and really even to speak that over someone to say, like, oh, they would, I've done that before. Oh, they'd never. Like, don't speak that over a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, anything. Because God can do and have his way.
Yeah.
No matter how much time.
Yeah, you never know. You never know when or I mean, he was in his 70s.
Wow.
So
I often feel with people of that age, it would have to be really, really humbling because you've lived so much of life in a different way. So you'd have mm-hmm. to really be able to repent of so much while also you've lost a lot of people by that age. And to be able to look at them and if you're saying there's one way to heaven and it's the love of our Savior Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and accepting his forgiveness
and grace.
Then in grace, yes. then you'd have to come to terms with maybe people that didn't have that. I don't know. I just think of people that find Jesus in their old age and what an absolute monumental Jesus moving, like earth shaking and moving gift that is, that they yes. are able to do that at that age.
And you know where they have, where they've sinned much, mm-hmm. they are forgiven much. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really knew of all that he was forgiven mm-hmm. for. I mean, yeah. he really, it was like, it took him a while to really comprehend it. But, mm-hmm. you know, as the years went on, as he was growing in his faith.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so cool because mm-hmm. you could see him. He would be reading, he read his Bible every morning. Mm-hmm. He would walk through the house, and instead of singing negative songs, he was singing praise songs.
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just so cool to see him just walk through the house singing this praise song, you know, because, I mean, that was part of his life is singing things out loud. And he just, it was beautiful.
What a gift.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how did your family come to grace the church?
Oh, here. Yes. We moved to South Bend, Indiana, for Brian because the kids were in college.
Okay.
Beck and Stan were in college. Joe had graduated, but they were in college. And we told them that we would pay half of their tuition, but if they wanted, because we give them room and board, so if they want to go out of state and want or whatever, they had to pay for their own room and board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our kids are pretty bright. They didn't really want that, mm-hmm. want the financial burden.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stayed, and they went to Akron U.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we left, Becca still had a year to go, and Stan had two more years to go, at least two. And so we had promised them room and board. So... we got them an apartment,
okay,
and paid for that apartment, and we left
mm-hmm.
and went to South Bend for Bri so he could get a change up of his jobs because mm-hmm. he stayed in the area for them, and so we moved, and that worked out for a few years there, and then he got another job down in Tennessee. So we moved to Tennessee.
Wow.
Which was fun because my aunts live in Tennessee. Uh-huh. So
brother, dad's sisters or mom's sisters?
Mom's
sisters, okay.
Yeah, they live in Tennessee. So that was fun mm-hmm. to be able to spend more time with them. But that only lasted for a year and a half, and then we came back to this area.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came back to this area is when we started going to Grace.
Okay. How long ago was that? What year approximately?
That was like... 2019.
Okay.
It was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The classic mile marker in everyone's timeline. Was it before or after COVID?
Right.
So before COVID, got it.
Right.
So you've been through some transformations with us here as a church and some growth, the buildings and all that kind of stuff
yes.
as well, and getting involved in, I don't know, what is your family, what are you involved in here at Grace?
Here at Grace, mostly I lead a Bible study mm-hmm. on Wednesday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my
any particular theme where you guys go through different books of the Bible or different books studies?
We do book studies. We do videos, mm-hmm. you know, studies. We do sometimes I just teach.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what the topic is and mm-hmm. what's available.
Okay. Is that an open Bible study for the Women of Grace?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wednesday mornings, huh?
Wednesday mornings.
All right. So look that up on the website. You can
That's
join
right.
Kim.
We're the 9:30, not the 7 o'clock. There's one at yeah,
7 a.m. on Wednesdays?
There is one at 7 a.m.,
yes. Oh, doggy. You got to love Jesus to wake go. Not even wake up at 7 a.m. Be here and, like, presentable to the world at 7 a.m.
Right.
No, I'm being dramatic. That's not too bad, but that's fun. So 9:30 Wednesdays, you lead a Bible study, going through different kinds of content. I know you've been involved in the women's retreat, and are you doing Rooted right now?
Yes.
Awesome.
Actually, I'm doing three.
I'm not surprised at all. You're in three groups?
Yes.
Okay.
There's one that's off the books. Mm-hmm. That it's just
like some, a core intimate group of kin, if you will.
Yes. Actually, they were from our old church.
Mm.
And so, and they were just looking, and it's like, well, let's just do it here. And so, yeah, so we're meeting.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then I do the Wednesday morning, and then there's a Wednesday evening that is a couples, or not just couples, but
co-ed.
Co-ed, yes, that so Brian and I lead.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, you're getting a triple dose of Rooted.
Yes.
You're getting some fertilizer, you're getting some Miracle-Gro.
Yeah, you know, the morning one, I just set up the groups pretty much, and yeah, I get us started, and then they go into the groups, and it's like, oh, I guess it's just prayer time for me. So
easy enough.
So I pray. That's what I've done is, unless somebody needs something, I'm the prayer.
Awesome. Well, anything else that you want to share from your journey as a mother, as a follower of Christ, as a wife, as a daughter?
I guess my main thing is you never give up and to keep on praying because God is so faithful.
Mm.
And, you know, like I said, he's faithful. I always had a dad when I needed one. Mm-hmm. It was just, he is so faithful.
Yeah. I feel like you really found a life hack there with I'm going to pray every time I feel triggered, every time I feel anxious, every time I feel upset. I'm just going to pray through it. And then the way that Satan transformed, like, flee. He has to flee, right? Like, when we call out to God, then Satan flees. And we can resist him. And we can draw close to God. And he draws close to us. And that's, like, where power is. And even if it takes 25 years, there's still you were transforming in that process along the way as well.
Yes. And, you know, it's to a point now where I like to get challenged a little bit.
Okay.
Because the triggers are, sometimes they still come back. Yeah. And when they come back, it's mostly when I'm feeling insecure or like I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken to where I pray for God to put me in places that I can't handle. So that I have to rely on him.
Wow.
So
dangerous prayers.
It really is. And just recently it really was. But but I did that when we moved to South Bend. Uh-huh. I had no idea. Didn't know anybody there. Didn't know what we were going to do. Or, you know, I had my day free. So I can't stand to just be free like that. So, you know, with nothing to do. So I went to the church and I looked for, you know, well, what do they need? How can I help out? And one thing intrigued me, and that was they had an inner city community center. And so I went down just to check it out. It's like, oh, this looks interesting. And there were two people working there, and they were hired by the church to do it. And they looked at me and said, well, this is what we do. We just set out these pastries and coffee, and people come in, and you just serve them pastries and coffee. And it's like, okay. And so they were like, okay, you're going to do it? We're out of here, you know? And
oh, jeez.
And it really was. It was like, what? I'm the one here doing this now? And it was 2 days a week. Well, it ended up, by the time I left, we served breakfast and lunch and had at least 100 people coming in.
Wow.
For those. We had homeless. We had the neighborhood.
Mm.
We were in a neighborhood, or it was in the center of low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but every morning going in there, because it was out of my comfort zone, I was holding onto the steering wheel and praying my heart out.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
You're like driving right into the pit and you got to cover it in that
way. And so, I mean, the transformation, we also had a different leader that came in and he went and solicited the different community apartments and such. And but they started coming, but I was the one that did all the cooking and got everything. I never had done that in my life before. But I just cooked, and I went to the food bank, which I've never done before. And it was just, it was an exciting adventure. So that is what, recently I was praying the same thing. And it's funny because then I got your message to do this. But the same weekend, my husband said, let's go on the ski trip with my friend and all of his family. And it was like, that the ski trip is fine. Can we stay in a different place, you know? And no, we're going to stay in there, you know, with them. And it was like so out of my comfort zone. It was really tough. And I'd like to say I handled it really well. But...
Stretching yourself. Give us that prayer again. What is your prayer that you said? The dangerous prayer?
The dangerous prayer. God, put me in situations that I need to rely on you.
All right, I'm writing this down. Put me in situations that I need to rely on you. Wow, that's a really good nugget to take away. Because he'll do it.
Yes, he will.
And he'll prepare you, you know? Like, he probably worked for years on those things to get you to that point, and you have what you need, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
He really does. I mean, it is fun to be dependent upon him, because when you're dependent, then you know that he is at work, that it's not you, but he's, you know, and that's, I mean, I can do a lot of things. I can, you know, I feel like it's like, oh, I've got this. You know, you hear that all the time. Oh, I got this. Well, put me in places where I don't got this.
Ooh. Come on. Oh, my gosh. That's so good. It sounds like when you were laying flat on your face when you had toddlers and you were surrendering completely.
Yes.
Like, I don't got this.
No.
And I need you. I need you. One of those moments along the way.
Yes.
Okay, well, you've given us a prayer. I would also like for you to give us a song to add to the Unscripted Worship playlist for our listeners. We have a playlist on Spotify called Unscripted Worship, which you can look up, and all of our friends who have shared their stories have contributed a song. So it's an amazing playlist, and I would love, Kim, for you to add your song.
Well, it's kind of funny because as I walked out the door, Brian asked me, so what song are you going to do? And it's like, I don't know. I've been really thinking about this. And, you know, the goodness of God, that was my dad's song, you know? And, I mean, he would just go, and that just meant so much to him. And, like, my grandma, it was How Great Thou Art.
Classic.
You know, yes. So this is just not going to sound nearly as... spiritual.
Yeah. Okay.
Mine's all joy, no stress.
All joy, no stress. We could all use a little bit more of that, but I don't think I know that song. Give me some lyrics.
It's by Rhett Walker.
Okay. Is that country music?
Pardon?
Is that country music?
I think there's a little country twang to it.
Okay. Yeah, Rhett Walker. I mean, come on, this guy's got to be country.
I am not a country fan per se. But it does have some twang in it and stuff.
Okay.
But it's talks about no matter what situation, I mean, it kind of goes right along.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what situation you're in, there's joy.
Yes.
And it's fun. It's lively.
Just like you. I mean, I you guys can't see this as you're listening, but she has not stopped smiling. Your face is so bright as you talk. You probably can hear it even in her voice, like just the smile that comes through. So yeah. I think that joy, like that consistency of joy, which is different from happiness.
Yes.
Right? It's the source is the Lord who doesn't change. Yes. And if our circumstances go up and down and you ride that wave, you're going to get dizzy. But if you stick with Jesus, who is the source of our joy, that is a consistent.
You might have a wave, but it won't be as deep.
Exactly.
You know, because you're always, because you're hanging on to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, ride that wave.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to hear this. All joy, no stress, Rhett Walker, right?
Yes.
All right, we're adding it to the playlist. Go ahead and look that up, listeners. Kim, thank you so much. If anybody resounded with her story or resonated with her story, I should say, of forgiveness and of disconnection and reconnection and dangerous prayers, or if you want to join her Wednesday morning Bible study, you can reach out to us. We have an email, unscripted@graceohio.org. We can get you in touch with Kim, or be happy to answer any other questions you may have. So, Kim, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.